Well, I think most would agree that today's workplace is transforming and rapidly in the post-pandemic environment, and well, with the proliferation of robotics as well as artificial intelligence, I guess you could say that the future of work has become a megatrend unto itself, leaving a lot of folks wondering, what's coming next? Welcome back to ClearPath, your roadmap for life. Today, we'll be exploring some fascinating insights from a new survey of more than 1,800 employers conducted by nonprofit Transamerica Institute. And joining me in this discussion is Catherine Collinson, founding CEO and president of Transamerica Institute and its Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. So, Catherine, let's just jump right in here with the survey's revelation that almost 7 in 10 employers either currently use or at least plan to use robotics or artificial intelligence in their workforce. I mean, what do you make of all this?
Al, it is certainly a seismic shift, isn't it? Mind you, the trend is even more pronounced among larger companies, where it is almost 9 in 10 employers are either currently using or planning to use robotics or artificial intelligence. So it looks like that technology is here to stay. As we think about the big picture, technology is reshaping the way we work, but it's also critical to remember human talent is indispensable, and I believe it will remain indispensable. Our jobs might change, but there will always be jobs for us to do. And this may be oddly reassuring, Al. Our survey found that almost 4 in 10 employers, 37%, indicate they are negatively impacted by labor shortages. I know that's oddly reassuring, but again, almost 4 in 10 say they're negatively impacted in terms of their overall business and their day-to-day operations.
Well, on one hand, that doesn't sound very encouraging, but you know, as you mentioned, on the other hand, it seems like some pretty good news for the human employees. Now, moving on, this survey also identified the top priorities for employers in terms of workforce management. So would you mind walking us through some of these priorities and their implications?
Absolutely. We asked about a number of top priorities, and the one that topped the list among employers is employee health and well-being and safety. That emerged as a top priority, with 60% of employers emphasizing its importance. And Al, I think this really reflects a growing trend that employers recognize and value holistic well-being of their employees and how it's a key driver of organizational success. Another big top priority that emerged is compensation and benefits, with 55% of employers citing this, which we all know is especially important as they are competing to attract and retain talent.
Well, I think it's clear and quite frankly, pretty reassuring to hear that employers are actually prioritizing the well-being of their workforce. Now, with that said, the survey outlines 7 recommendations for enhancing business practices and employee benefit offerings. So let's delve into these recommendations by first unpacking the facilitation of professional development. So what are your thoughts here, Catherine?
Al, facilitating professional development is the number one item on our recommendation list for employers. If you think about it, with all these new technologies and that rapidly evolving workplace, it is vital that employers are focused on helping their employees keep their job skills up to date and in alignment with their own needs as an organization. Our survey found that only 44% of employers currently offer job training programs, which raises the question, how can their organizations adapt without them? Employees are at risk of falling behind or even their operations falling out of sync with what they're trying to accomplish. So really, focusing on professional development programs is a huge win-win for employers and their own needs, but also helping their employees keep their skills up to date.
Agreed. Now, let's examine the second recommendation, expanding alternative work arrangements. I mean, with the rise of remote work during the pandemic, how can employers go about adapting to this trend?
Al, as you pointed out, without a doubt, workers demonstrated that alternative work arrangements can be effective. They did it over and over throughout the pandemic. All indicators, they don't want to go back in time. However, as popular and as effective as they are, not all employers are offering alternative work arrangement type options yet. And just one example I'll call out, only 43% of employers offer hybrid work. And granted, it's important to realize that some types of jobs and industries lend themselves better to alternative work arrangements. But at the same time, employers can benefit by identifying what works best for them. Maybe they need employees on site, but perhaps they could be more flexible in scheduling work and letting workers have time that they need to take care of their lives. So in the end, another win-win, embracing alternative work arrangements can benefit employers is in terms of productivity and employee retention, while at the same time helping their workers achieve work-life balance.
Well, look, once that genie was let out of the proverbial bottle, I mean, it became pretty clear that providing flexibility in work arrangements as in remote or hybrid scheduling definitely can be a win-win for both employers and their employees. Now, I'd like us to take a closer look at the third recommendation, which is supporting caregivers in the workplace, because let's face it, you know, with our aging population, I'm wondering what can or should employers do to support employees or who are actually caregivers?
That is a great question, Al, because workers have been caregivers, are caregivers, or will be caregivers, have become increasingly prevalent in the workplace. And that is a trend that is going to continue for years to come, is with people living longer, and especially now with the aging of the baby boomer population. However, only 23% of employers provide training for employees how to handle their caregiving situations in the context of their work. So things like how to work with each other, compassion, empathy, understanding of company policy. These are all things that employers could really enhance the employee experience as well as manage their workforce by offering. Other examples of things employers can do include paid leave, caregiver resources, an employee assistance program. And these things can not only assist their caregiving employees, they demonstrate an employer's commitment to employee well-being and retention, and it can help them attract and retain talent. I don't know that any employer wants to lose a superstar employee because they've got to take their mom or dad to a doctor's appointment. It just doesn't make sense. So supporting caregiving employees can go a long way for employers and employees alike, and also generating goodwill in the workplace.
You know, I think you've touched on a really important aspect of employee support that really shouldn't be overlooked because, and I think I may have mentioned this previously, but I've personally dealt with these challenges on both sides of the desk as a manager and employee juggling the dual role of caregiver. It's not an easy road and can be fraught with just, you know, so much stress. And to that point, for listeners who are interested in learning more, I'd recommend checking out our podcast episode, A Spotlight on Caregivers in the Workplace. I think you'll find that very instructive and helpful. Let's now turn to your fourth recommendation, offering phased or flexible retirement options. I mean, well, what's the story here, Catherine?
Al, baby boomers are retiring and the oldest Gen Xers aren't all that far behind them. And they, as well as millennials and even Gen Z, they are envisioning a flexible transition to retirement. Gone are the days of working full blast, full time, all the way to the very last day and never working again. Today's workers envision a flexible, gradual transition that could take many different forms. It could be going from full time to part time, maybe doing work that's less stressful or demanding, seasonal work, all sorts of different types of options and scenarios out there. Yet relatively few employers have formal phased retirement programs. Only 35% of employers say that they have one, but many others do cite that they have some other less formal options that could lend themselves to flexibility. And Al, this is totally counterintuitive. Offering flexible retirement is actually an employee retention tool. If an employer makes work and retirement an all or nothing proposition, they could lose employees who want a flexible transition to retirement. The huge benefit to employers for offering these types of programs is it opens a dialogue. It can help them with succession planning, as well as more seamless transitions when an employee does retire. And again, it's what workers want.
I hear you. That's an excellent and, you know, I might add practical strategy, which is, you know, another win-win for both sides. I mean, thinking about it, you know, the knowledge transfer of, you know, current employees walking out the door without having that successful handoff, is a recipe for disaster. Now let's move on to the fifth recommendation, fostering an age-friendly work environment. How can employers go about creating an inclusive environment for employees of all ages?
Our workforce spans four generations, each with unique perspectives and needs. Interestingly, almost 9 in 10 employers, 87% in fact, consider themselves or their organizations to be age-friendly. But Al, our survey findings suggest otherwise. For example, only 26% of employers say they gave a great deal of consideration to age 50-plus job applicants last year. And it is also, if we put this in perspective, age 50-plus job applicants represent a major portion of the workplace, and only 1 in 4 employers are giving them serious consideration, especially in the context of the labor shortages that they say they're being negatively impacted by. To me, this is a huge disconnect because we see such a high percentage saying that they're negatively impacted by labor shortages. So what's going on here? Employers are not yet as age-friendly as they think they are, especially as it relates to older workers. And by the way, with the aging of the population, older workers represent an increasing proportion of the overall workforce. So employers are depriving themselves of an opportunity. By adapting age-inclusive management strategies and age-friendly business practices, employers can not only attract and retain talent, but they can unleash the potential that comes from the diversity of the multi-generational workforce.
Well, look, I think it goes without saying it's essential to create an inclusive workplace culture that welcomes diversity. Now, let's discuss this sixth recommendation, providing more comprehensive employee benefits. What are some additional benefits that, employers can offer to support their employees' well-being?
Many employers do offer basic benefits, such as healthcare insurance and retirement benefits, for example, a 401k or similar plan. However, there is vast room for improvement in offering these benefits, especially among small businesses and smaller companies where coverage is the lowest. So, big call to action there. Then, our survey finds employers of all sizes have room to enhance their benefits by adding things like life insurance, disability insurance, workplace wellness, financial wellness programs, and other types of programs and insurance coverages that can help employees safeguard their health and well-being while protecting their finances.
Well, I think that's a great way for employers to show they sincerely care about their employees' health, wealth, and I might add, this goes a long way in supporting employee retention and, as a result, avoiding costly turnover too. Well, finally, let's talk about your seventh recommendation, enhancing retirement benefits.
Al, I've got to tell you, in my years of doing survey work, every once in a while, there's a survey finding that just sets me back on my heels when I say, how is this possible? And it relates to retirement benefits. In late 2022, new pension or new retirement legislation was enacted called the Secure 2.0 Act of 2022. It has myriads of provisions for employers to either implement retirement benefits if they don't already offer them, or for those who do offer them to enhance their benefit offering to their employees. And amazingly enough, it's just not all that well known. Only 32% of 401k plan sponsors indicate they're very familiar with the new law. And among employers that do not offer any retirement benefits, only 2% are very familiar with the new law. For me, this is a tremendous call to action to raise awareness among employers about all these new provisions that make it easier and more affordable than ever before to help their employees prepare for their future retirement.
Well, again, that's a significant opportunity and really a chance not to be missed, providing employers, you know, a chance to enhance the competitiveness of their retirement benefits and overall employee benefit offerings. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for sharing all of your insights on these recommendations today. Now, where can our listeners go to find the new survey report that we just discussed?
The report is titled Workplace Transformations, Employer Business Practices and Benefit Offerings, and you can find it on our website at transamericainstitute.org.
Excellent. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Clear Path, your roadmap for life. If you have comments, feedback, or topic ideas, please reach out to info@transamericainstitute.org. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so that you won't miss an episode of Clear Path, your roadmap for life. Until our next episode, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening. Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life is brought to you by Transamerica Institute, a nonprofit, private foundation dedicated to identifying, researching, and educating the public about retirement security and the intersections of health and financial well-being. You can find our weekly podcast on WIPR's website and mobile app, wherever you get your podcast, and at transamericainstitute.org. Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life is produced by the Transamerica Institute with assistance from WIPR. The information provided here is for educational purposes only and should not be construed as insurance, securities, ERISA, tax, investment, legal, medical, or financial advice or guidance.